Well, Weird's not here. He's shoveling snow.
Yep.
So the internet will have to go do, have to do without its.
So,
go ahead, Jay.
Hello, internet. Hey, internet. How are you doing?
For you listeners in jolly old England, that was Jay, not Weird. I know y'all can't tell them apart, but.
We all of us sound the same.
All you Northeastern Yankees sound the same.
All us Yankees sound the same. So yeah,
the cats are having a freak out right now, just because it is, everybody has cabin fever.
The school was canceled today because we got literally a dusting of snow.
I have seen pictures of the snow in Virginia and I laughed out.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Coming from Massachusetts, I'm like, oh dear Lord. And they've already closed school for tomorrow because it's predicted to be cold.
They closed schools here because of the cold. And I thought it was like, I think it's really weird to do that in a place where it's cold a lot.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, you have to condition your children to survive the elements. And I'm sorry, but if you live in Cleveland, it's cold a lot of the year. And when you grow up and become an adult Clevelander, you don't have cold days where you get to stay home. You have to like get your ass out of bed and take a shower early enough so your hair doesn't freeze when you step out of the house, and then you have to go to work. It's not like shit closes down because of the cold here. It's just, it's the concept to me is bizarre. I mean, we used to get snow days, like when it was really, really bad. But the cold days, and on top of it, nobody, I drive past two schools on my way to work. I do not ever see kids walk into school. So I don't know what the deal is.
People are soft. That's the problem.
Soft. Yeah.
Soft, squishy. Pseudo humans.
I mean, I never walked to school. I took a bus. I was far enough to have a bus, but we did not get cold days, and you don't get cold days when you grow up here. You know, it's very strange to me.
So I did, excuse me, I did some research on this.
Yes, cold
basically, I Googled, why do they close schools when it's cold?
Okay.
And there are actually, that's actually a big search term for Google right now.
Because people
are asking the same questions. The best explanation I get is because they don't want the children to be affected by the cold. I don't understand that. This was actually, they interviewed somebody at Cincinnati.
Oh my God. Cincinnati
spokeswoman said there's when deciding whether to cancel, number one is the desire for students to be in class, but it has to be balanced with the need to keep them safe.
Safe?
So, okay, standing in those sub-zero temperatures waiting at a bus stop can be really dangerous.
Oh, please.
That's the excuse.
So maybe don't send your kid to the bus stop as early, or, you know, bundle them up.
Well,
for the 5 minutes they're standing out there, they're not going to freeze to death.
This is not new.
No.
I mean, cold is not a new phenomenon. It's not, it didn't just happen when Al Gore was born, you know? it's, you know, children used to walk to school or ride the bus. I mean, that was, parents, you know, and this is going to sound like an old fogey, but when I was a kid, you know, if it was really raining hard, I might be able to beg one of my parents to drop me off at school. On the way home, forget it. I was on my own. But I walked, rode the bus or rode a bicycle or whatever to school my entire life. So where I used to live, my house was right next to a school bus stop, and I would see the parents. They would stand there with their children to get on the bus, and then they would meet their children when the bus came. And I'm like, these are not like first graders. These are like junior high and high school kids even. And I'm like, what the hell is going on with people these days?
We do sound like old fogies.
Yeah, but damn.
Get off my lawn. Oh boy.
So I don't get it. Maybe one of our listeners will have a better idea and can mention it in the group, Facebook group. Because you know, what I really love is when we do a show and like later on that night, even people are making comments about it in the Facebook group. That's pretty funny.
People listen.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's kind of like freaky. And a good freaky, don't get me wrong. But
and sometimes just because I know people are sitting there waiting, I just like, I go and make, you know, get a snack. And, you know.
Anticipation makes it taste better.
So if you're sitting around at like 9 o'clock waiting for the show to pop into your RSS feed, that the reason it hasn't is because I know you're waiting.
That's evil.
That's how Alan is, folks.
Hey, you get what you pay for.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. So how cold is it where you are, Brita?
Let me check. It probably has changed in the past 30 seconds. According to my Dark Sky app, which is really accurate, it is 9 degrees and feels like minus 5. Oh. What is horrible about this 9 degrees, the humidity is 77%.
Good Lord.
So if you go outside in 9 degrees, 77% humidity, your face feels like it's being torn off your face. Yeah.
We're at 17.
Okay.
I'm surprised the air can hold that much moisture.
Yeah.
Enough to be humid when it's that cold. That's amazing.
I live next to a great giant body of water.
I understand that, but you would think the moisture would just freeze right out of the air. I mean,
that's called lake effect snow, Alan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong number. That's forecast for tomorrow. Now, zero. We are at zero. Oh,
zero.
Wow.
We ran out of degrees. Al Gore must be he must be home.
Impressive.
By home, I mean DC. The humidity here is only 43%.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it's very dry.
It's a dry cold.
It's a dry cold, like my freezer.
Like it matters at that point, really.
Yeah. Literally like my freezer. Yeah.
One of my resolutions for this year has been no skipped gym days, especially for this month of January, because I want to like get back into the routine. And, you know, because we try to go three times a week, lift three times a week. And but tomorrow, the high is supposed to be 8.
Oh,
the high is 8. And by the time I get out of work at 6 o'clock, like it's going to be, I don't know what.
You're going to owe degrees.
Oh, my God. And I'm trying to like gear myself up for it mentally. Like starting now because, it's just like such a punishment. It just even stepping outside the door when it's this cold is like horrible. I want to remind everybody, if you're somewhere cold, bring your animals in, please. I've read multiple stories about frozen dogs found frozen in dog houses and. Ooh. Actually, I read a story in the news today that a man in Akron, Ohio, which is like an hour south of us, they found him frozen to death on his porch next to his wheelchair.
Ooh.
So check on your old people and your animals outside and, you know, come on, people.
So
if you're cold, they're cold.
Speaking of resolving to go to the gym. Did anybody do the New Year's resolution thing?
Nope.
Aside from the gym thing?
Yeah.
That's it. I just need to not have any more excuses for not going. Also, I'm keeping a planner, like a monthly planner. I'm trying to be more organized, which helps because I like actually manage people now, which I have never done before, and it's a little overwhelming. So
isn't it freaky?
Oh my God, so many like notes and I have to write myself notes upon notes upon notes. So.
You have this idea that having people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can just tell them what to do and they go do it. No, it doesn't work that way.
No,
it doesn't.
Managing people is hard. It's very hard work.
Wrangling cats.
Wrangling cats is easy compared to managing people. Okay. Well, yeah, I didn't do a New Year's resolution either. I didn't. The whole thing's ridiculous.
I do kind of have one. It's more of a something I want to do.
What do you
want to
do?
I want to take better notes of my shooting progress. Instead of just being like, I think I did this. I want to like start writing stuff down.
Wow. But
it's kind of more of a general, it's not like I resolved to do this, but more of like a, all right, lazy bastard, you got to start getting better about this.
How will you do that? Like I can see doing kind of like photo documentation. That would make sense. But like writing down exactly like what variables will you be writing down? Is my question.
Basically like what I'm shooting and how many rounds and anything that happened.
Oh.
Like if I, you know, do well on a dot torture, which I hate and it's evil, but it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like a log.
But yeah, exactly.
So like what gun you're using, what ammo you're using, the distance, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay. And just general notes if as needed.
That sounds super nerdy.
It's very nerdy, but it's something I want to do.
You gonna do that on your iPhone?
Probably not. I'm actually going to do like pen and paper.
Oh, because I bet there's
like an actual. They're probably. They're almost certainly. Yes. I have a shot timer on my iPhone. By the way.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
You'll be glad to know. And someday I'm going to get a real shot timer, but now is not that day.
You know what? I had a shot timer, and there are so few ranges that let you actually use it for anything that I don't even know where it is anymore. I used it for IDPA, but outside of that, it's very hard to find a range that'll let you do time like draws and stuff like that.
Not for me, and that's part of why I need to get better. Special. That's why I need to get better about it, because it's like I have this readily available.
Yeah.
So I want to make better use of it.
Use it.
Exactly. It also will, you know, it'll help kick me in the ass to get down to the range. I've actually got the start of a project.
Wait. Hold on, Jay. You're telling me that there is a range in the basement of the building you work that you can go shoot at for free anytime you want. And you're not down there every day?
Well, I do have to do work.
I don't care. You get lunch. You get breaks. I mean, come on.
I try to get down once a week.
You shoot for free. there are people all over the country cussing your name right now, wishing they were in your position.
Well, all I'm going to say about that then is don't go to the website or see our Facebook page, because I'm going to be starting a new project next week where basically I'm torture testing a pistol.
Oh, are you going to do like how many rounds
That's part of it. That's part of it is,
can you say which one, or we have to wait and see?
I'm going to leave the suspense.
Okay.
It won't surprise anybody, but
how many rounds are you going to try to put through it? Until it breaks, or do you have
I'm shooting for 2,000 to 2,500.
Oh, well, that's not much.
Not much. It's more than most people shoot in a lifetime, man.
Yeah, but is it going to be like you're just going to take it out of the box and start shooting, or are you going to do, clean it and lube it and all that kind of stuff and then see how long it'll go?
I'm trying to decide. I'm actually, I have a counterpart at American Rifleman is doing a similar thing. And I think whatever he does, I'm going to do the opposite. Mm.
Like
if he takes it and cleans it thoroughly and then brings it to the range, I'm just going to pull it out of the box and vice versa.
Okay.
Just for a little variability. But that's part of it. That's the big impetus behind taking notes. And then I want to take notes, anything else I do, not with that particular firearm, I still want to document this because I'm curious.
I mean, genuinely... I can see it. Yeah, I can see it going either way. You know, do the torture test out of the box with no
right
nothing, and then you know it, maybe as a control, do it with another one that you take out clean, give it a good once over, lube it once, and then see how long it goes. Of course, then you're going to get the argument. People are going to argue about the lubrication and.
And that's just it. It's,
blah, blah, blah.
A modern firearm, you should be able to just pull it out of the box.
Yeah.
There's a lot of truth to that. You know, you should be able to just pull it out of the box and it's good to go.
Yep.
And, the flip side is, there's basic steps that you should take regardless.
Yeah. But you know what? If it's a modern polymer pistol, then as I fish for hints, those are so loose that you can do a lot of shooting on them without any lube at all, and they're fine. In fact, I would go so far as to say that you could probably strip it dry and carry it for the rest of your life without any worry, except, where you get, sweat rust or something. All right, so we beat that topic to death. Rita's falling asleep.
No, I'm good. I'm listening.
Okay. So did anybody notice that the minute that Moore lost in his election, the whole sexual thing just sort of fell off the radar? Suddenly nobody cares.
Yeah, well, they realized that they were catching way more Democrats than Republicans with that. And they were like ixnay on the E2May.
Yeah. And actually, Franken actually did resign.
Yeah,
that was surprising to me. I didn't expect him. I figured he'd weasel out of it,
which makes me wonder what else was out there.
Well, that's a good point.
I think it was either two, three, or four came forward already.
Yeah.
And I know the first one, it was, it was a joke. I was a comedian. It was taken the wrong way. It's terrible. And then another one came out. And, that was, and then another one. And it just started piling on. And I'm wondering if there were some that weren't easily written off as jokes. You know what I mean? Somebody came forward and had a Harvey Weinstein moment.
Yeah. And the stories about Franken where he would pose with constituents, like he'd meet somebody out on the, campaign trail or like at the county fair or whatever the fuck. And he'd like pose with a woman who was like one of his fans or, they wanted a celebrity picture with him and he'd reach down and cup her ass while they were taking a picture. That's not a joke.
No, it's not a joke. And it brings up another point is he did that as an elected.
Yeah.
Senator.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know this, but these ethics investigations that they do on these guys, the Congress critters and the senators, they only apply to actions taken after they get into office. Anything that happens up to the day they're sworn in as senators does not matter as far as a Senate or congressional or House of Representatives ethics investigation. They could be a drug dealer, kiddie porn, whatever. But the minute they get sworn in, if they don't do anything else, then it doesn't matter. So I kind of go with Breida. There must have been something else he did as a senator that was going to come back and get him.
Yep. They got him and Conyers and Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey, and they stopped Roy Moore, who was okay. And that was, and there was some other like state level, state senator level Republican that also stepped down. So yeah. like two marginal and yeah. started.
And frankly, the Republican Party was like going, whew, man, dodged a bullet on that Moore guy, didn't we?
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Because this, it's
the Democrat, I mean, he's a one term guy. They'll
half a term.
Yeah, if that. I mean, they're going to.
Serves until the next election, which I think is in 2 years.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, his days are numbered already. He doesn't have a chance of staying in that. In that spot. So, yeah.
And again, you know, it's really, it was a big, you know, that was the best thing that could have happened, because if Moore had won, Franklin would have stayed in. They would have been like, oh, right. Look, you know, look at the GOP. Now it's like, yeah, no. Nope. Even in Alabama, they're like, yeah, nope. Big cup of nope. And you're right. As soon as he was defeated, it was like, okay, we're done. Let's stop this because it's costing us too much.
The whole thing, I don't know. And the whole feminism, resist, pussy hat, Trump, you know, thing, and the Roy Moore thing, and the whole movement is so strange to me, because it's like, it's not accomplishing anything. I mean, granted, I'm glad Harvey Weinstein is gone and his, you know, the likes of him. I'm glad they're being exposed. But, you know, the feminists act like they have this, like, big resistance movement and they're going to do something. And what? Like, what is happening? Like, I don't understand it. Like, you know, they're selling all the pussy hats and they're selling the resist t-shirts and there's a hashtag resist on Twitter. And how, like, what, how are you doing that? Like, what is, how are you resisting? What exactly is it that you are doing? And I'm trying to, like, I've been spending a long time trying to figure out, like, aside from putting hashtags on stuff and buying pink pussy hats, like, what are you doing exactly?
Well,
like how keep resisting. Okay, yeah. But what does that mean? Like, what is the action of resisting? What is it that you're doing?
Well, to a liberal, the thought is the deed.
Ugh.
You know, that's
yeah, bring our girls back. Boko Haram let
right. Yeah, Boko Haram. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that is, you know, having a protest is as good as what, you know, actually doing something.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, it's that's because you're not a liberal.
And meanwhile, in Iran, like, we're having actual, you know, protests against a theocracy that tortures and arrests and beats women for not wearing, you know, full covering. And meanwhile, the feminists are like, oh, well, la-di-da, you know, but mostly probably because they've been for quite some time now trying to convince everybody that wearing a hijab is a sign of empowerment. And then you go to Iran and there's women who are like standing up, taking off their hijabs and letting their hair be seen and getting arrested for it. But the feminists have nothing to say about that because I don't get it. I don't get it. And I think it's all like a social media pose thing. Oh, I'm resisting, rah, rah. But like when it comes down to actually putting your ass on the line for anything, you know, okay.
Yeah.
Or like, or, you know, kind of doing a little bit of self like introspection and trying to figure out what does it actually mean, this feminism and equality for women and, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know. I don't think they follow through with their thoughts, is what I'm saying. It's good enough to just wear the t-shirt or the hat or the fuck Trump lipstick that I saw online today.
Really?
Yes.
What color is it?
I don't know. It's lipstick colored. I don't know. I didn't look that closely. Color. It's some sort of pinky nude, maybe, or something. I don't know. Anyway, Those are my thoughts for this week. I'm done.
But they did something. They put a hashtag.
Yeah.
You know, because that does things.
Yes. One extra, you know, character on their Twitter. Hashtag.
Yeah.
I read an article today, and I read it actually just this evening, and I'm sure no one will ever be surprised, but the headline is, I read decades of Woody Allen's private notes. He's obsessed with teenage girls.
No shit.
No shit. But apparently there's this 56, there's a 56 boxes worth of archived Woody Allen notes. And no one has ever bothered before now to read them all. Which, is that odd?
It's Woody Allen. But apparently
Richard Morgan, writing for the Washington Post, went and he read, he's the very first person to read this collection of Woody Allen's notes. And
is he having to go to therapy now?
You know, he probably does. But yeah, he's a misogynist and he's obsessed with teenage girls. And no one is surprised.
To the surprise of no one.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Although I just recently saw a Woody Allen movie and I loved it. But it didn't have anything to do with teenage girls, so I don't know. Yeah. Midnight in Paris.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
It was good.
Anyway, alrighty then. I'll take
you. What's going on with you guys? Alan, how's the house?
It's all right.
Alan moved again. This is the 14th in this decade.
It is. Let's see. How many times have I moved since we started this show?
Well, how many times have you moved since we've known each other?
Oh, well, gosh.
Like in 9 years? How many times?
Let's see. One, two. Wait a minute. One. One, two, three, four, five, 7 times now, I think.
Right. So essentially, Alan never empties the boxes. He just moves the boxes.
but this is the first time I've moved in like 3.5 years. So.
Oh. Okay. Well, I hope this one sticks. The cats seem to like it, no?
Yeah, the cats like it. They get to watch the squirrels in the backyard. Very exciting. Once they got through their, you know, the cat, new place, running hide, you know, that cat thing that they do. Jay doesn't know. He doesn't have cats.
Nope. I'm allergic as fuck.
Well, you're not going to come visit my house.
Probably not.
Do we need to send somebody to check on Weird because he's out there shoveling snow?
He's had a heart attack.
Oh, no. He sent us a message. Sorry, guys, I'm looking a lot of snow. Don't wait up for me. I doubt I'll make it. Okay.
They got like 98 inches.
What?
I'd be like, fuck it. I'm staying. I mean, come on. What the hell?
You gotta go to work, Alan.
That's right.
No. No, you
do.
Like
you
that.
Have to go to work.
Not killing yourself. Let's see. I can shovel the snow and die, or I can take a couple of days off. Which would I want to do?
Well, you have to get ahead of it. Like, you have to like shovel a little bit, and then, you know, before you get more, you gotta keep ahead of it.
That's my plan. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The other people in the neighborhood look at me like I'm crazy. I'll go out when there's like 3 inches on the ground, just clear it off, and then go out again. It's like, well, because I'd rather shovel 3 inches 3 times than 9 inches at once.
Yeah.
It's just easier.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
It really is easier because 3 inches, you just push it and you're good.
You nice can't little cardio. Somebody cardio to do it.
Have you tried, Alan? Well, I mean, obviously you haven't tried to pay someone to shovel snow.
No, of course not.
Have you tried to hire a teenager to do anything?
No.
nobody
back in the day.
Nobody has any interest. Like, I look at my neighborhood. I'm gonna absolutely stereotypical subdivision. There's like a million houses, all like 8 inches from each other. Every house has a little postage stamp lawn. Every house has a, you know, a driveway capable of holding like 3 cars, you know, 2.5. And I'm like, my God, a 15-year-old boy could make money hand over fist. Because the landscaping companies are retarded. They want like $75 a week to do your lawn. I'm like, you're fucking nuts.
Wow.
I have a little push mower with a bagger. It takes me from the time I pull the mower out of the garage, fill it up with gas, mow the entire lawn, bagging the grass, bag it all up, put it in the trash, clean the mower off, and put it back is 1 hour. I'm not paying somebody $75 for that. You came and said $25 a week, we'll mow your lawn once a week, $100 a month, deal.
Yeah.
Not $300.
I used to get $20 a week when I mowed yards when I was a kid.
Exactly. I mean, and these little lawns, if you went door to door.
The lawns were much bigger in my neighborhood.
15 years old, you've got a push mower and a couple gallons of gas. You could hit 10 houses in a day. Easy.
Yeah, I used to do 20, five
yeah,
or six
20
on a
bucks,
weekend.
Even at $20, you could take home, you could clear $200 a day. You could be taking home $1,000 a week.
Yeah.
Because there are seriously like 900 homes in the subdivision. You know, now
you could probably just go right down the street and never turn the mower off.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And
yeah.
You know, I mean, you could, you know, when it snows. Now, it doesn't snow very often. You know, that's one of the things I like about being down here is we get snow, but it's, you know, we'll get a dusting and we'll get one storm that drops 4 inches. Woo, snow! Everybody panics and it's humorous to watch. And I'm like, you could make a bloody fortune. You have 4 inches of snow. You can shovel a small driveway in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Some kid knocked on my door and there was like 6 inches of snow outside. And they said, $20, I'll shovel 20. Your driveway and your walk. I'd be sold. Come back tomorrow,
I wouldn't be
too.
Able to get out fast enough. Yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah. You could. You could make more money than a 15-year-old kid knew what to do with.
But although these days, it's probably illegal for kids to do that.
Oh, almost certainly.
Because they don't have a license or a vendor thing or a solicitor permit or, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm sure if you did it enough that somebody would, you know.
Somebody would rat you out. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Because, you know.
And if you do it right, it's a cash business, too.
Yep. And again, if you're mowing, I mean, if you're shoveling snow, it's 100% profit. There's literally, you know,
you might have to
buy one shovel a year.
Yeah.
You know, so $20 a year.
Yeah. You don't have to bag it or anything.
Right. You know, mowing. Yeah. It's a little more complicated. You know, it's again.
Yeah. But you know what? Lawnmowers are not that expensive. I mean, you can, even if you couldn't use your dad's lawnmower, you could go buy one for less than $200 at a hardware store and you can make that back in a couple of weeks.
Yep. Absolutely.
And another $50 for a cheap weed eater.
Yeah. You know, that's easy. You know, that's how you do it. You know, it's
even,
like $20.
You know, even if it crapped out at the end of the summer, you know,
you could
throw it away and buy a new one next year.
But, you know,
damn kids.
That's right.
I wanted to mention there's, I don't know if y'all have been following the whole marijuana legalization thing.
A little bit, really.
But California made recreational marijuana legal as of what, January 1st, I think. And there's been a lot of talk about, marijuana stocks. This is companies that are in the business of supplying marijuana, and a lot of them have publicly traded stock. and the Canadian companies, because Canada did this a while back. So Canada, the Canadian companies that have publicly traded stock went up like crazy. And so everybody's anticipating that that would happen for the American companies. And Sessions, Jeff Sessions, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, just crapped on everything.
Why?
He announced on Thursday, well, today, that he is rolling back the Obama-era policy that allowed legal marijuana to thrive without federal intervention. So basically, the feds are going to start enforcing the, hey, pot's illegal in this country. I don't care, Colorado and California, what your law is. The federal law is that it's illegal, and we're going to treat it as such. So. Yeah, going to be interesting.
It's so horrible because I don't know who to root for. On the one hand, it's bullshit. I mean, just fucking legalize it and be done with it. It's the dumbest fucking thing in the world that marijuana is illegal. It really is. It's just it. You know, to channel my son, it makes no sense. You know, it is at least as innocuous as alcohol,
if not less so.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, you see drunk people getting in fights all the time. You see stoned people macrameing their asses to the sofa, you know. But, you know, I can't imagine why. And yet, this is a chance to fuck California. So
that's, yay. That's why it's happening. You know, that's why it's happening.
Oh God. Yeah.
That combined with the tax changes where they screwed the blue states on their local taxes. Yep. So they can't, you can't, what is it? $10,000. You can deduct up to $10,000 of state and local taxes on your federal income tax return. Anything over that, and you can't deduct it. Which means California, New York, you know, all those, New Jersey, all those high tax states suddenly got screwed. And now you got Jeff Sessions announcing they're going to start enforcing federal drug laws.
Yeah, and California and Colorado have got to be crapping their drawers over that.
Well, you would think, you know, which it makes me wonder what, you know, they're already, California's already, you know, basically, trying to do a sanctuary state, right?
And, right.
You see somebody put up signs. Somebody put up.
They put up signs in California all the time.
No, Alan. No, no.
You have to be a little specific.
No, this was like I wish I could find it now. Somebody went around, you know, the signs at the on the highways where you drive into to a state, it says welcome to whatever state it is, right?
Right.
Somebody made very professional looking signs that say I think it's like official sanctuary state, welcome, illegals, criminals, MS-13, because the Democrats need the votes.
Wow.
That's harsh. True.
Wow.
Harsh.
And they look like the highway departments. I mean, they look like the signs that the highway department would have put up, and it's hilarious. I'll try to find the picture and put it in the page.
Well, you know, I mean, they're literally getting away with murder, so.
Yeah. Here it is right here. Yeah, official sanctuary. Official sanctuary state. Felons, illegals, and MS-13 welcome. Democrats need the votes.
Oof.
And they put up several of them. It's not
maybe it's the same group that always, like, when something happens, they put up the posters around Los Angeles. I know that they put up posters around Los Angeles for
right. could be
Hillary, and I think Harvey Weinstein, and also, or it's kind of like this underground, you know, I don't know, guerrilla art kind of thing.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's hilarious. And of course, the, you know, California, they're all like, whoa,
harumph,
yeah. Just, and, but they were, this was a well-organized thing. I mean, these signs went up like in the night, like right after they, right after Jerry Brown signed the sanctuary state bill, like the next day the signs were up. So, it's impressive.
While we're talking about state laws.
Okay.
I'm segueing into Oregon.
their
gas pump laws.
Oh my God.
What is it? What is that called? Poe's law, where you can't distinguish parody from.
Yeah. I don't know if they're actually, I can't tell if they're like legitimately scandalized that they have to pump their own gas now, or
yeah. Or are they just making fun of,
concept? Yeah. I don't know.
You know, the whole concept that you needed the government to say you can't pump your own gas. And, I would like to think that there is enough sarcastic, snarky people that all of these tweets and whatnot are, you know, very tongue-in-cheek. People like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to go to another state. You know, it just part of me is afraid that they're real. They really are.
I'm sure some of them are.
It says the ruling specifically states that gas stations in these areas do not have to do away with the full service gas attendance, but the bill is simply giving them the option to do so. So if they don't want to employ people to pump gas anymore because any retarded monkey can do it, so be it.
Yeah.
But Oregonians, is that how you say it? Oregonians, I think so.
Or Oregoons.
Oregoons?
I don't know.
I like that.
Being a wise guy.
I ran into that in New Jersey, the whole gas pumping thing. And it was kind of creepy because at least where I went, the gas pumps were exactly like the pumps you use everywhere else. You have a slot for a credit card and all that kind of stuff, except that they had a shifty looking guy standing there. And you know, this was completely foreign to me. And the first time it happened, I pull up in my rental car and I get out and I'm looking at the gas pump, get my credit card out. And some guy comes walking over yelling at me to get back in my car. Like, what the hell? And he looks like a vagrant. And I'm like, I'm getting ready to like jump in my car and drive off or something. What's going on? And the guy starts telling me, you know, you can't pump your own gas in New Jersey. And I thought he was punking me. I swear. It was like, I'd never heard of this before. And he's like, no, I got it. It's against the law. You can't pump your gas. And I was like, oh, okay. So how do we do this? And he's like, well, you give me your credit card and I put it in the machine. I'm like, oh, great. And so that's, you know, you hand them your credit card. They stick your credit card in the machine.
Yes. Yes.
And keep it while they pump your gas, and the guy shuffles around, and you know,
some of them will clean your windshield,
and then eventually he comes back around, and when your pump finishes, you can't just drive off, you know, you got to wait on the guy, and he's three pumps over doing whatever the hell he's doing, and you're sitting there going, come on, guy, come on, and. You know, and I was like, fuck this. I made sure I filled up in, Philadelphia from then on. But it's crazy. I don't understand, you know, now I'm going to get to be an old guy again, because when I was a kid, I remember full service gas stations.
Sure, me too, actually.
Some of you young whippersnappers listening, some of our listeners don't know what full service is, but it used to be that you'd pull in and they'd ask you what kind of gas you wanted, and you'd tell them, and they'd start filling up your car and they'd check your tire pressure and they check your oil and they clean your windshield and they clean your, not just your front windshield, but they clean all your windows while you're sitting there. And there was two or three guys. I mean, it wasn't just like one, you know, shifty attendant guy. It was, there was like a squad that would come out and, you know, they used to advertise. I mean, that was a big thing. You know, they'd advertise your, you know, their service and all this stuff at these service stations. So
they'd even re-vulcanize your tires, right, Alan?
No, I don't know about that. But they would, you know, they'd tell you, oh, but they'd tell you if your tires were late. They go, oh, you got a worn spot on your tire. You know, they would tell you if, you know, they'd give your car a once over, you know, they'd fill up your water, you know, your washer fluid thing. And man, it was pretty nice. And then, for whatever reason that went away, I guess, you know, competitive pressure, whatnot. So
I wonder how it coincided with the gas crisis.
Well, they were all, by the time the gas crisis happened, they were already going to sell. They already had a lot of self-serve. There was a transition time where, a lot of stations had like one set of pumps was self-serve and another set was full serve. So you could choose whether you wanted to pump your own gas and it was cheaper, of course. So everybody started pumping their own gas. Cause
right.
You know,
cause you're not paying some schmuck to pump gas.
Right.
And then they went to soft serve and it was all downhill from there.
Well, and back, you know, back in the 70s when this all started, saving 5 or 10 cents a gallon was a big deal.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that was serious money. Now, of course, you know, if somebody tried to do a full service station, they probably had to charge twice as much just to cover the, you know, $15 an hour minimum wage or something.
Yeah.
So.
I was trying to figure out how you could work it where what you actually could do is offer a service like an oil truck where people leave their cars out in the driveway and you pull up,
by and fill
their tank in the middle of the night. You know, think about because stopping to get gas is such a pain in the ass.
It
right?
kind of is.
You know, if you had a truck with, you know, just the standard gas pump, people just leave their car out. You know, you tell them, I live at this house. It's going to be a, you know, a gray Nissan Altima plate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Give them a credit card. You could do it all online. You could have it set up with an app. You charge, you know, maybe 10 cents a gallon more than whatever the standard rate is. You know, a reasonable charge, but worth. And you go to bed with an eighth of a tank. You wake up and the car is full.
You know, I don't know. People are still really, really price sensitive about gas for some reason. And it mystifies me because I think it's an age thing because to me, I keep doing this thing in my head where I see two gas stations across the street from each other. One will be 10 cents a gallon more. And I go to the other one. And then I'm like, why the fuck did I do that? That's like $2 difference on my truck. It's literally, it's chump change. It's nothing. Yep. And yet I went out of my way to go to the 10 cent a cheaper, you know, cheaper one. I'm like, why the fuck did I do that? It's crazy.
I find that hysterical, Alan. We've got a BJ's Warehouse, you know, Sam's Club, Costco, that type of idea for those that don't know about BJ's Warehouse, but they sell gasoline.
The most inappropriately named store. Such a disappointment.
Berkeley Jensen is what it stands for.
Oh, but, is it? I never knew what BJ stood for.
So now we do. And gas, it's the cheapest. Like if you do like a gas app, they're the cheapest in the neighborhood. And there's always like the pumps are always full. You go there like before a snowstorm, it's like four cars deep. There's a why not stop, you know, just a generic gas station. They're like maybe 10, 12 cents a gallon cheaper. There's tumbleweeds blowing through it. I'm like, I will stop there. I pull in, I gas up. Now, I have a small car with a little tank. It was 10 gallons. So $20 is, you know, Alan's $2. It's worth it to not have to sit there waiting for every booger-eaten mouth breather to the, ooh, that's what a gas pump is. You know, just call away. Yeah. And the people that just, they finish pumping, they hang the pump up, and then they sit in their fucking car with three cars waiting. I'm like, you know, pick your nose in the parking lot. I don't care. You know, text your friend after. Move your damn car. You should get like a 10, you should get a 10-second grace period, and then spikes come up.
Yeah.
That's how things work in my world.
Whoosh. But it's so strange though that you it must be an age thing. You know, we're still operating a mindset where 10 cents was like serious money.
Right.
Like it was when we were kids. I mean, if you had 10 cents when I was a kid, you had 10 cents in the 70s, you could
make a phone call.
You could do stuff with 10 cents. You could buy some candy, you know? I don't know if you could still buy a soda when I was a kid, but you could. I mean, 10 cents was something worth having.
Alan is old, folks, in case you hadn't picked up on that.
You know, you could buy, you know, gum was a penny, so you could buy 10 pieces of gum. You know, when you're 10 years old, that shit matters. Now, I don't think 10 cents is worth a penny in the 70s. I think it's worth less now. Thank you, Federal Reserve.
Damn you, Jimmy Carter.
So, yeah. And there's a corollary to that because I've, you know, I go through this perennial thing where it's like, oh, shit, I'm starting to weigh more, so it's time to start eating less or whatever. And I've got this – remember when I was a kid, it was like, you know, clean your plate. You got to clean your plate. And so I still find myself stuck in that mode where it's like, oh, I've got to eat all this food. It's on my plate. I got to eat it. And I'm like,
I did not know you were Italian, Al.
And I'm sitting there, I find myself thinking, why the fuck does it matter? If the food is on the plate, it doesn't matter whether it goes in my stomach or goes in the trash. It literally doesn't matter. And in fact, if it went in the trash, it would be better. For the most part, above a certain, you know, minimum calorie level. So, you know, it's weird. It's like this. You know, it's like the money thing. It's like, you know, I don't know, this childhood baggage that we drag around is really detrimental sometimes.
It's existential moments with Alan.
That's right.
this whole episode has kind of been like, Alan is old.
Damn kids, get off my yard.
Damn kids.
Alan, this is going to be the Alan Yells at Cloud segment.
Not that old. But you know, but okay, so but that brings up a good point, Jay, because you know, dear. Kids, when you're a kid, things are the way they are. And you don't know that things were ever different.
Right.
But when you're older, it's like it smacks you in the face. It's you can't avoid knowing things are different. And so all these millennials with their whatever the fuck it is they're doing, you know, they think they're so important and whatever they're carrying on about matters, and it doesn't fucking matter at all.
And in the end, it never really mattered.
No.
It's like how they say that every generation thinks it invented sex.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Nope.
Yeah. There's nothing much new in the world.
Yeah.
Really.
The Romans got nothing on, you know, they outdid in sheer pervosity. The Greeks, the Greeks and the Romans outdid anything anybody could come up with today.
That's my peep.
There's nothing. The pervious den of iniquity in San Francisco can't compete to a Roman brothel in 100 BC. And I should know. I was there.
Alan remembers. Like Pepperidge Farm, Alan remembers. Right.
I like the if you ever get a chance, if you Google like graffiti Pompeii graffiti.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff.
It's fucking. Yeah.
I mean, it's like literally nothing has changed.
It really hasn't.
Human nature. No, oh, it hasn't.
Yeah, you translate it, and it's like, you know. Yeah, this particular whore was a great lay, and
yeah, for a good time call.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like the same concept. Yeah, I know.
It's very amusing stuff. Yeah.
Caligula is literally Hitler.
Yes, heard that was. I think that somebody carved that on a wall somewhere.
It's literally Hitler. Literally.
Oh, shit.
Oh, goodness.
I didn't set up my mute button. Damn it.
What?
I had a mute button. I didn't set it up, so.
Oh, I thought you said I didn't record. No. Jesus Christ, Alan.
I got a mute button a while back for my microphone so I can mute myself. And,
I have one, too. It's the little microphone on my iPad.
Yeah, I don't have that.
And with that, we are at 9 o'clock.
Are we?
Yeah.
Didn't we start late? We started late.
I don't know, but
we owe the listeners another 5 minutes at least.
Okay. Well, I wanted to mention that I am sending out stickers, Squirrel Port stickers this weekend. Soon, I don't know. I need to go to the post office, but it's so fucking cold. So if anybody wants a Squirrel Report sticker, send me an email or contact me through Facebook. I will mail you a sticker for free because we like you.
Maybe more than one.
Maybe more than one. I don't know.
Gosh darn it.
If you're extra nice to me in your email, you may get more than one. I don't know what that means, but you know.
They're really nice stickers. I've had one on my
truck. They're nice.
I've had one on my truck for like, gosh, at least 2 years now, and it hasn't faded or peeled off or anything.
No, but you keep getting new trucks, so.
No, this is the same one.
Alan gets a new truck almost as often. No, more often he moves.
I've had this one since 2015.
One of our listeners, Jay, who lives apparently near you, I don't know, he saw you on the road and took a picture of your truck and put it on the scoreboard.
That was
crazy. Like, Wait a minute. Is that really Alan? And it was, you know, it's a red truck with a Squirrel Port sticker. But somebody pointed out it had your CB antenna. And I was like, oh, it's got the
full. It is not a CB antenna.
Whatever it is.
10-4, good buddy.
It's not a CB antenna.
What is it?
It's just ham radio.
No, ham radio. I can never keep them straight.
It's
whatever.
A dual-band UHF VHF antenna.
Okay.
Breed, get your nerd things right.
It has the full nerd, you know, accessories. So we knew it was Alan's truck. I'm sorry, it was not a CB radio. It was some other nerdy thing.
Some other nerd thing. Actually.
Yeah. He totally did just do that.
Oh, God.
Did you like, go to the dealership and, like, say, I'd like the full nerd package on the truck.
No, actually, you got to. If you want the nerd package, you got to do that yourself.
Oh,
the dealers don't do nerd.
You can't. It's not nerd if someone else does it for you.
That's true.
You know, you can't just go and be like, "Yeah, can you put in, you know, the full infotainment and ham radio and microwave oven?" I'm surprised.
You could get a CB radio, can't you, though?
If you can.
If for some reason I wanted to start having sex with first cousins, I could.
But depends on what your first cousin looks like. I'm just saying.
I guess. No, you could. Yeah, you can get CB radios still.
So you could, like, drive down the highway and talk to the trucks?
Yeah, that's pretty much a... That's pretty... CB's... I don't know anybody that... Except truckers, really, it does CB anymore.
And even then, I think it's handled more by cellular. You know, especially
probably
where so many cars have, you know, the Bluetooth. I mean, like, I get in my car, my phone syncs. If somebody calls me, it just comes right through the audio.
Yeah, that's the thing with cell phones. With everybody has cell phones now, the need for radios or CBs in your car, it's kind of fallen off. But in case anybody really wants to know, the radio in my car is a Yaesu FT400DR, which is a
dual-band
transceiver. It's digital and analog FM, and it's APRS capable. So
it's got APRS X capable. What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't even know if that's a thing. I just
what is it with nerds and acronyms? Like,
it's the secret language of nerds. If
it must be.
If you don't know it, you're not in the club.
Wow, it's irritating. Like, I'm good with acronyms if I've been previously told what the acronym stands for. But if, you know, just you'd start talking and throwing acronyms in the sentence and I'm lost, you know, I'll start making up shit.
No, you know. Shouldn't the word acronym stand for something?
It should. It should be an acronym itself.
Yeah. Like onomatopoeia.
Yes.
Exactly.
No.
Pow.
You know what I want? Okay, I'm gonna do a selfish ask.
Oh boy.
I it's been somewhat alluded to. I moved into a new house, and I need a kitchen table. I would really like one of those retro diner style kitchen tables.
Not a kitchen table, more like a dinette.
Like
table,
a dinette. Kinda. Yeah. Like a you know, like a 50s diner, you know, little round chrome edge table with the chairs and all that kind of stuff. I found a few online that are like, you know, crazy money, like $2,000, which I'm not going to spend on that.
Yeah.
I got other things I can spend that kind of money on. So if anybody knows where I can find a retro
eBay?
Diner style. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe eBay. I don't know.
Wayfair.
Yeah, I've looked at some of that stuff.
Yeah, retro dining.
I'm a little worried about ordering something online.
$139
yeah,
pub table.
See, yeah.
Stools and everything.
I've seen
here.
Stuff like that, but it seems so cheap that it just, I mean, like, how, I mean, it just, I don't know.
Well, like with this show, Alan. You get what you pay for.
Yeah, I know. You would think in the third largest city in the U.S. that there would be some place where I could go and find things like this, but.
What?
There's a cat. There's
the cat.
Drink.
It's that time.
It is that time. And we are officially over an hour in showtime.
Okay.
So, we can call it quits. Happy New Year, everybody.
Hopefully Weird will be back next week as not like out buried in the snow.
He's not frozen to death.
Yeah.
Happy 2018. This will be the year that Donald Hitler Trump finally opens up the concentration camps.
Well, he's already solved global warming.
That's right. Yeah.
We can hope.
I love how they're so quick. Well, global warming doesn't mean that it's going to get cold, going to get warmer.
Okay.
It means that the climate's going to be different.
Well, actually.
Well, that's the worst nerd ever, Alan. Come on.
All right. Okay. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night,
Debbie.
Oh, you know what? We didn't say this is episode 269.
Wow.
The first episode of 2018.
Uh-huh.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
I hope your 2018 is better than your 2017.
That's right.
And we'll be back next week.
All right. Okay. Same squirrel time, same squirrel channel.
That's right.
Yes, bye. Sir. Good night. Bye.